Well, it's a nightmare scenario for the government. The Deputy Prime Minister, Barnaby Joyce, may be ineligible to sit in Parliament. The High Court will rule on Barnaby Joyce's case. If they say he has to go, then the government's majority in the House goes with it. Of course, you'll remember there's a one-seat majority. They do, however, have support from independents like Bob Catter for supply, and there would likely be a by-election, many people saying Barnaby Joyce could win it. But the Attorney General, George Brandis, thinks he'll be safe. Here he is.
The Australian government took advice from the Solicitor General over the weekend, and the government's view, based on Solicitor General's advice, is that the provisions of Section 44 of the Constitution, which disqualify foreign citizens in certain circumstances, don't apply to Mr. Joyce.
But the Greens, like Labor, are calling for the Deputy Prime Minister to stand aside while the matter is dealt with. Richard Di Natale is the leader of the Greens and he's in our Parliament House studio. Richard Di Natale, thank you so much for your time tonight. Barnaby Joyce could be ruled by the High Court as eligible. Why call for him to resign and throw the Parliament into chaos, given the High Court hasn't had time to consider it?
I suppose if you've got to decide if you want to do the right thing. Bottom line is that the Constitution sets out very clearly whether people are eligible to stand and the conditions. We don't like it. We think it's a rule that is a relic of a bygone era, but it's in the Constitution and it's very clear about dual citizenship. If you're a dual citizen, you're ineligible to stand as a representative of the Parliament. And it's just, you know, isn't it interesting that these people believe there's one set of rules that should apply to them and another set of rules that should apply to everybody else. And that's the problem we've got here. You've got a government that, even by their own standard, I mean, Minister Canavan basically stood aside from the ministry, lost his portfolios, shouldn't be in the parliament, but at least he's no longer a minister. Well, Barnaby Joyce has done the same thing in terms of not being aware of his dual citizenship status, and he won't even resign as a minister or indeed the deputy prime minister of the country.
But there are some different circumstances. Matt Canavan, there was an application made by his mother, but still an application made. In the case of the two Greens, they're actually born overseas. Barnaby Joyce wasn't born overseas. You know, his father was and then migrated to Australia, in the 1940s, a long time ago.
That's right. That's right. So his father was a New Zealand citizen. In the case of Larissa Waters, neither of her parents were foreign nationals. Indeed, they were both Australians. So, I mean, that argument cuts both ways. And one could make a strong argument that someone who's 11 months old, who happens to be born in another country to people while they're travelling there who are Australian citizens, has got less of a claim on dual citizenship than someone whose parents are indeed dual nationals. So the bottom line here is the circumstances don't matter. What matters is, are you a dual national? And the Constitution is very clear on that. You cannot be a dual national and be eligible to stand for Parliament. So in the end, what we've got to do is we've got to decide, look, are we all going to abide by the rules, or are there a special set of rules for Liberal and Labor members of Parliament and different set of rules for everybody else?
The Attorney General.
People have had a gutful of this stuff, Patricia. Yeah. They see politicians, basically, when they're in trouble, instead of doing the right thing, and look, Larissa and Scott made a mistake. They copped it on the chin. They resigned and they paid a really high price,
well,
but they acted with integrity and decency.
Should you have referred their cases to the High Court? Did they jump too early?
No, because
let me just take you back to that time.
Yes.
You would do it exactly the same?
Absolutely. When you're confronted with legal advice that is black and white, that says somebody is ineligible to stand because they hold dual citizenship, and the law on this is very, very clear. The High Court have time and time again made it clear that ignorance is no excuse. If you're a dual national, you can't stand. Then you do the right thing and the decent thing and you step aside. That's not what's happened here. These guys are trying to make a set of rules for themselves and they're going to go to the courts. Oh, well, show us what the advice is. George Brandis says that he's got advice from the Solicitor General. We'll make that public. Let's have that advice made crystal clear, lay it out, and let's see on what advice Barnaby Joyce is acting, because it is very hard to see how somebody who's a dual national, who is made aware of that, has any other choice but to resign because they are no longer eligible to stand in the parliament.
Well, the High Court is obviously going to make a determination on this and all the other cases and provide some clarity on what this means, particularly this concept of citizenship by descent, which is the category now Barnaby Joyce is in. I mean, he wasn't born there, as I say. So given that will take some time, Barnaby Joyce and the Prime Minister basically saying that they think that the advice from the Solicitor General is so strong that they will survive this High Court deliberation. Where's the politics with this? Is this now the Greens, and of course you can't speak for Labor, but I imagine Labor too, just dogging the government, pursuing the government relentlessly day after day for Barnaby Joyce to step aside?
Oh, well, I'm not going to speak for Labor, but I can say, you know, you saw what the Greens did when confronted with a similar situation, acted with decency and integrity. And that's what people expect of us. If you see, I think part of the reason that people are so fed up with politics is they do see people behaving according to a set of rules that are in their own interests, playing by a completely different standard. And I think if people don't have, if we're going to have faith in the system, if people are going to have faith in our democracy, then people within the system have to act with integrity. And that's not what we've got at the moment. We just don't have that. What we need, and look, this won't be just about Barnaby Joyce. There'll be other members of Parliament who
are
hoping
this is going
to... Well,
Labor says they think that they're very, very, very sure that they all of their people have been vetted very diligently, and well, we won't see these cases. Are you confident that Labor's in the clear?
No, I'm not. And there's one way of actually determining this once and for all, rather than have this sort of dribble out with another person and another person, and people ultimately to throw their hands up in the air and really despair about what's going on in here, and that is to have a comprehensive audit. You have somebody appointed. The Prime Minister could do this tomorrow. He could appoint somebody independently with expertise in this area. People come in, they present their documentation, could all be done in the space of a couple of weeks.
Well, on that...
Any of those cases where there's a cloud, they get referred to the High Court, and we deal with it once and for all.
Bill Shorten has rejected Malcolm Turnbull's offer of a joint referral to the High Court to decide on the citizenship status of a block of MPs. Should Bill Shorten have supported that?
Oh, look, I think what Bill Shorten should have supported is what the Greens have put to the Parliament
last week. You will prefer your own proposal, but I'm asking you about this.
But it's a compromise.
But if I can ask you about this proposal, a very direct question, do you think that this block approach should be taken by the opposition as well?
No, because Patricia, what the Prime Minister is asking for is that Labor members volunteer themselves, that people somehow step forward and they haven't to date and say, well, we may have a problem here and we want to have this tested. That's just not going to happen. It doesn't pass the sniff test. The only way to resolve it is to make sure everybody is basically judged on the same standard. And it's very easy to do. Most people won't have an issue because most people won't have in the parliament, won't have parents who were born overseas and won't have been born overseas themselves. For those people who may be citizens either by because they're descendants of someone born overseas or they themselves have been born overseas, if you haven't got the appropriate documentation, well, let's test those people's cases in the High Court. That's what should happen. That's what we should have if we want people to have faith in the system. I mean, what Malcolm Turnbull said to Bill Shorten is, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, have you got anybody else who you think might have a problem? Bill Shorten says, no, okay, we'll just refer these cases, rather than doing it properly and comprehensively. And why do we have this situation? Well, of course, Malcolm Turnbull is desperately holding on to his one seat majority and doesn't want to see that threatened.
Well,
and that's why we're in the mess that we're in.
If I could just move to a couple of other issues. You're writing to the Prime Minister to ask him to consider allowing people over 16 to be surveyed on the same-sex marriage issue, but you have to be 18 to vote for a reason. Why do you think this should be different in this case?
Well, you can be 16 or 17 and get married. It's a simple answer. If someone can be 16 or 17 and be married, then surely they should be given the right to make a judgment about whether they believe that should apply to same-sex couples as well. And so we feel very strongly about this. I have written to the Prime Minister and asked him to include 16 and 17-year-olds as part of this question. And we've also got some legislation coming before the Parliament, and we'll seek to amend that to make sure that 16 and 17-year-olds get a voice in this debate. Because if they are in a position where they can marry, then they should also be given the right to decide whether that should be allowed for every member of the community, so that we end discrimination once and for all and recognise that the love between two people is something to be celebrated rather than something to be rejected.
Four Corners tonight is about the disarray inside the Australian Greens. People going on the record talking about your internal problems. A lot of dirty laundry is about to be aired in a very public way.
Well, I haven't seen Four Corners yet, Patricia.
You'll be watching, no doubt, at 8:30.
Oh, yes, I got the popcorn ready. I'll be watching and we'll see what comes of Four Corners. But my priority right now is to be really clear about all the things that we're fighting to achieve. Marriage equality, trying to clean up politics, get an anti-corruption watchdog.
Sure, but we will hear tonight on Four Corners Senator McKim, for instance, using pretty harsh words to describe the workings of the New South Wales branch. He describes very high tensions. Is this worse than you would have us believe? Because clearly what's been outlined on Four Corners is really a party that's it's ripping itself apart.
Well, again, I haven't seen the episode, Patricia. What I do know is that right across the country we've got members and supporters who have been working so hard on all the things that we care about, tackling dangerous climate change, housing affordability, making sure that young kids who are being screwed over at the moment with high uni fees and being locked out of the housing market have an opportunity to achieve the things that their parents achieved. They're all the things that we're fighting for.
You are, but there
Patricia,
are other issues
right
as well, as we'll see tonight. You promised a thorough root and branch review of the party processes. Where's that at?
Well, currently our our national body is working with our state parties, and that's underway. We're looking at the vetting of our candidates. We're looking at putting... And that's obviously with the citizenship issue. That's something that needs to be done as a matter of urgency and is being done. We're looking specifically at some of our policies and procedures. Look around a whole host of areas, making sure that we do that, but also make sure we continue to build a healthy, respectful culture that recognises the role that our members play in the party, to give them a stronger voice in helping develop policies, making sure that our members have an active role in the pre-selection of candidates, and being really proud of the fact that we're a grassroots democratic party that allows our members a really strong voice, and something that we should always encourage.
Richard Di Natale, thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks, Patricia.
That's the leader of the Greens, Richard Di Natale. Now, you can hear from that the Greens and Labor putting incredible political pressure on the government to stand aside Barnaby Joyce. Barnaby Joyce has decided to stay as Deputy Prime Minister, also stay in the Cabinet, obviously, despite the fact that they have referred his case, he's referred his own case, to the High Court because he's a New Zealander. We know because, well, that's what New Zealand says, that he is a dual citizen. How the High Court interprets that, whether it makes him eligible or ineligible to be sitting in the Parliament, will be determined. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. What do you make of the calls by Labor and the Greens that he step aside? 0418 226 576. And of course, that other comment by the Greens leader that, you know, if they had their time again, they wouldn't refer it to the High Court. They would just resign, as the two Greens senators did. No regrets there, according to Richard Di Natale.